I want to start off and paint sort of an image for you. If you can imagine yourself having spent a whole day, at least, if not one or two days, in a very hot, dry desert. Got an image?
Where's the water?
Yeah, after a long time without any water, which do you want? If you want water, would you like me to give you this? Would you like me to give you this? The word water, for those of you listening to this recording later, is I have on a piece of paper. A picture of a glass of water, I also have on a piece of paper. But will either of these really satisfy your thirst? Now, lots of shaking of heads, no. I agree. If somebody handed me this, I'd say, forget it. If they handed me this, I would say, no, I want this. I want the real thing. I want the reality. Too often, our Christianity is a lot like this. We have a lot of Christian words. We have no reality for them in our heart. Now, I'm not talking about water, but I'm talking about righteousness and holiness. They're nice sounding words, but there's no reality to them. And even if you do get an image of being right with God or being holy because you're in Christ, it's just still an image. It's not an experiential thing. And so tonight what I want to talk to you about is having an experience, the reality of knowing what it means to have a real, sincere desire, a hunger and thirst for God. You know what? When I have had water for a long time and I take a sip of that water, it just tastes good all the way down. It gets rid of the dryness in my mouth. It makes me feel invigorated. And that's what Father wants each of us to do with Him. Not just that our bodies desire that water, but it, you know, so that we physically have it to sustain us, but it's refreshing. And when we experience God, I believe it's the place of refreshing. It's the place where we experience Him in ways that no longer we're tired and weary because of the things going on in this world. You see, we really have two lives. We have this outer life out here. And we spend so much time and energy to make sure we look nice in the mirror, make sure we have our clothes looking neat and clean. We make sure that we do all the things, whether it's prepare food or go shopping or do our jobs, wherever they may be. But ultimately, that's the short-lived life. That's the life that's only going to be on this earth. And we unzip this earth suit, so to speak, and we step out and the real us is on the inside. Our spirit, our real inner man, our heart is going to live for eternity. In one place or another, if we don't know Jesus, that would be a sad thing. But all of you sitting in this room wouldn't be here if you didn't already have some revelation of Him being your Savior and Lord. But He came to introduce us to His Father. And between the two of them, as well as the Holy Spirit, we're just involved in their big love feast and their big dance together. This universe is not about us. It's more about them. But Father always wanted a family, and He sent His Son so that we could come home. And He came to reveal that to us. As Jesus came, and I'm going to start out with the Old Testament, though. In Psalm 42, 1 and 2, it gives us an image of how animals often can long and thirst for water, too. The psalmist gives us this word picture, and it's the way we need to be in being towards our Father. I want to have the same heart hunger, as it says in the Amplified from Psalm 42, as the hart or the deer pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for You, O God. My inner self thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? The Passion Translation, which is a newer translation that a man by the name of Brian Simmons, who worked for Wycliffe Bible Translators for a number of years, the Lord gave him an assignment of translating the Bible in what he's calling the Passion Translation so that we hear the heart of God with every word that is in the scriptures. And so his version of the Psalm 42 from the Passion is, I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure which flow in your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts and pants and longs for the living God. I can say to you, is there is so many words there that I could spend time talking about. But when you long for something, when you really have a hunger, it compels you. You're not going to just sit back and do nothing. When Rick and I were in the nation of Zambia back in 2009, we got a revelation of what hunger will do for people. Because we did an outreach to children. We did games and did a bit of ministry with puppets and things for these children. There was supposed to be 200. Well, we ended up with 800 children.
Oh, my.
Okay, on this very dusty but little grassy soccer field in Zambia. They came, thankfully, that they came with teachers. So there was some teachers helping to control the numbers, but there were not too many of us, to say the least. Rick, myself, and our contact. And it's like, okay, God, you better take over here. Our contact had promised them to feed them. And so the teachers at the school that this was all connected with had made hundreds of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and we had drinks for them, orange drink. But there was only so much food, and so it was really interesting. Thankfully, we had wisdom. They sat down in groups. But at one point, there was a place where food had basically been distributed, but there was still a little extra. And another gentleman with our contact, John, and he had the food. These kids don't get more than one meal a day sometimes. And they literally mobbed him. There was so much of a hunger. There was so much, I need this, I want it. There was no just standing in a nice little neat line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what hunger will do when you don't have anything. But we live where? In a very affluent, for the most part, comfortable nation where most of us, we're blessed. I mean, I'm sitting in this house and I am so thankful to God every time that we get to use it, especially this way like tonight. But I'm so thankful that I have an abundance of food and I have sufficient clothes and I have all those things. But there's a lot of people that all they're doing is barely surviving. But because of that comfortableness, I can't think of any other word to use, we can also become complacent and apathetic or less than hungry. I can honestly say that I think that we have so much food that we can dull our hunger and our thirst for the things of God, because the things of this world try to get our focus and our attention.
Oh, yeah.
Television and advertisements, you need this in order to be just perfect, and you need that. And a lot of people in this society, in the United States of America, where we live, are trying to fill that heart hunger, that hunger and thirst for God, with material things. And material things will never satisfy your heart. There was a song by a man that called himself Mr. Donut Man, but there's a hole in the middle of your heart, and it only can be filled with Jesus. That's from probably 35 years ago.
The '80s.
Yeah, it was from the '80s at least. But I still remember that because it was so true. We try and fill that void in our hearts with so many different things, and yet none of them really truly satisfy. There's only one place that will really satisfy us. Rick and I were talking, and we started talking about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman in John 4. She's asking Jesus, why are you a Jew, me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water is water that never runs out. You're always going to have your thirst quenched because of him. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. the natural water, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm telling you, the more I drink of him, the more I am so aware of the everlasting life that's on the inside of me. I feel more alive. Rick and I just celebrated 45 years of marriage yesterday, but I can tell you, I don't feel 45 years older. I probably feel younger than I did in some respects than when I first got married. And the Lord said, that's true, because you've got more of me. The more we have of him, the more alive we really are. So thinking about that, he is the living water. He wants us to drink of him daily. In Matthew 5:6 and in Luke 6:21, he said, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. In the Message Bible, it says, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. The word blessed are you who hunger. That's a present tense. Just because you ate yesterday doesn't mean you're not going to eat today. In the natural. Well, that should be the same in our spirit, because our spirit needs that feeding, that filling, that sustaining all the time. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. The Message says, come every day to me and you'll never be hungry. Believe in me and you'll never thirst. I looked it up in the Greek, and hunger means to pine, to famish, to crave, to be starving. Those are pretty strong words. That's the kind of hunger he's looking for. In Webster's dictionary, it says that hunger means to desire with great eagerness, to long for. So have you ever eaten something sweet shortly before you were supposed to have a bigger meal, your big meal, and suddenly you're just sort of not hungry anymore? We have all sorts of what we call junk food that aren't quite as nutritious, and we satisfy ourselves with things that may not be as fulfilling or as life-giving as we think they are. And I've heard two or three people say it over the years, is sometimes when we're hungry in the natural, we need to stop and ask, okay, are we really hungry for more in the spirit? Is there really the inner hunger that we're thinking is just an outer hunger when it's really an inner hunger? But it's also just to the place where we need to recognize is that we were never meant to be self-contained power sources. You see, you have to look from somewhere outside of yourself to be nourished, to receive what you need. Well, that's the way he wants us to be with him as well. And it says in Luke 6:25 in the Message, it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy for long. And I'll be the first one to say that if we're only focused on self, we will find ourselves coming up short. But Psalm 107:9 says, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with goodness. So Psalm 107:9 says he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with goodness. Longing in the Greek there means to have an appetite. And Webster's dictionary says earnestly desiring, having a craving, an eager desire, or an appetite beyond what's natural. The world tries to get us to focus on all these things, thinking that we'll get an appetite. And our society has a great appetite for entertainment and sports and many other things. But we've lost the appetite sometimes for what really we are wanting. And I'll be honest with you, I think the reason people go to all those different things is because they've lost hope that they can have what Father always planned for them. And that's healthy relationships. A relationship with him vertically and then healthy relationships horizontally is what he always planned for us. But because those haven't happened, then we try and fill ourselves up with something that's less fulfilling than what he has for us. Brian Simmons has probably written about, he's probably translated about 15, 20 books now, I think, mostly of the New Testament, but he has Psalms, Proverbs, and Song of Solomon from the Old Testament. So he told me to read Psalm 145, verses 15 through 19 from the Passion. And this is what it says. You've captured our attention, and the eyes of all look to you. You give what they hunger for at just the right time. When you open your generous hand, it's full of blessings, satisfying the longings of every living thing. He's satisfying the longings of every living thing. You are right in everything you do, and your love is wrapped into all your works. You draw near to those who call out to you, listening ever closely, especially when their hearts are true. Every one of your godly lovers receives even more than what they ask for. For you hear what their hearts long for, and you bring them your saving strength. He plans exactly what we need. He knows what we need. We just have to be willing to look to Him and listen to Him and expect Him to come through for us. And if we haven't experienced that, that may not be an easy thing for us. David is the writer of Psalm 145, and he knew God was his source for everything. David went through a lot of hardships in his lifetime, but he always went back, even when he was down. But God will come through. He believed he would satisfy and fill himself up. He would desire and delight in his God before he would look to other things. And in Psalm 44 and 5 in the Message, it says, "Blessed are you who give yourselves over to God, turning your backs on the world's sure thing. Ignore what the world worships. The world's a huge stockpile of God wonders and God thoughts. No thing and no one comes close to you. I start talking about you, telling what I know, and quickly run out of words. Neither numbers nor words account for you." That's what the psalmist is saying about God. "Doing something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're after." If you read the regular Bible, it says sacrifices and offerings is not what God's looking for. But it says doing something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're after. Being religious or acting pious, that's not what you're asking for. You've opened my ears so I can listen. All he's looking for us to do is come to him and be ready to listen. He just wants to give us everything, but he can't give it to us if we don't have a hunger. He speaks in a more of a whisper because he wants you to be close. He's not wanting to have to yell, "Okay there," on the other side of the football field. He wants you to come close because that's the kind of relationship he wants with us. He wants that intimacy. And it's all about, is Father the one you desire and long to know more? Is that who your heart is set on? Is he the one your heart longs for and hungers for more? In Haggai 2:7, it says, "He is the desire of the nation." Nations. And desire means delight, desire, precious, goodly, and pleasant. Jesus even said, with fervent desire, he wanted to eat the Passover meal with his disciples. He just wanted that special time with his disciples before he went to the cross. He wanted to be close, and he wanted to be intimate with them, and he wanted to share his heart with them. I'm convinced that Father brings us to a place of more life when we stay close to him and hunger and thirst for him. He brings us life, and life abundant. Proverbs 13:12 talks about it becomes a tree of life. When we are close to him, I believe it's just like we are eating of that relationship and life is just flowing between us. When babies are young, they desire that milk. They can't chew big meat, but they can have the milk. And it says in 1 Peter 2:2 that we are to desire the milk of the word so that we can grow in our relationship with him. Do we realize how much he has to give us? He's just got his hands out. He's offering it all the time. But he can only give it to somebody that's hungering and thirsting and wants it. I've heard the proverbial saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, that's the way Father is with each of us. He's sitting there, "Here, I got it all for you." He just is asking us to come and partake. A man by the name of Bill Johnson, who has a large church out in California, he makes a statement that I really like. He said, "Our paramount desire should be the face-to-face encounter that ushers us into being with Father God." He wants us to have a face-to-face relationship where we sense his heart and we experience his joy and pleasure in us as well as hearing what he's asking us to be a part of. It's not meant to be hard. It's not meant to be something you have to stress out of how you get there. He's just saying, come and I'll show you how to do it. It's about our intimacy with him. It's about life flowing from his presence. It's not about what we have to do, or it's not about ministry. Rick and I did that for years, and thank God I'm on the other side of that. Mm. I do not need to do more. I just need to be more. I need to be in his presence. I need to be with him every day. So if you don't know how to get there right now, if you feel like he's further away than you want him to be, You can do what I still do and what he had me start to do years ago. In Song of Solomon 1:4, the Shulamite woman says, "Draw me." We can ask him to draw us. If you feel like you're going through a dry time, or if you feel like you're alone because of circumstances, you can just say, "Draw me. Draw me." Draw means to draw along, to draw out, stretch out, and extend. He's extending his arm to you, and all you have to do is say, "Draw me," and he's going to reach out and grab you. You don't have to expect him to push you away. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you." It assures you. James knew it. You start to grow any closer to him, you take one little tiny step towards him, and he'll say, "Oh, they're coming! They're coming home to me!" But this is one of my favorite ones. Hosea 11:4 says, "I drew them with cords of a man and bands of love." Do you realize how much he's pursuing you? Do you realize how much he longs for you? And one day he just showed me, he says, "I just want to bind you to myself," just like a mother. A lot of the ways they swaddle the babies now is by long pieces of cloth that they wrap around the mother, and the baby's right there.
Right.
He wants to do that for us and draw us that close to his bosom, because that's where Jesus came from, the bosom of the Father. He wants us to be that close. When we get that close, we'll hear his heartbeat, and we'll know that he has nothing but love for us. His desire is for you to hunger and thirst, and his desire is for you to experience all that he has for you. John 12:32 says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me." The more we know and experience him in his extravagant love, the more we will lift up Jesus and the Father, and others will see our God for who he is and desire him too. I am convinced that if we experience his love, why are Rick and I so excited and passionate? Because we just keep experiencing it. He wants to love you. He is loving you continuously 24/7. And even when you're asleep, if you've been too busy, we heard somebody say that they had a little child toddler that was always busy, and they could never get him to kiss him and hug him. And so when they finally fell asleep, the mother or father just went in and went and kissed them all over because they were quiet finally. And the gentleman, Brent Locker, that wrote that book that shares that story, he said that's what he realized that Father wants to do for each of us too. If we're not going to give him that time, he's still going to draw close to us and going to kiss and love on us. And so my heart is to say, I am praying and believing that what I've done tonight is just sort of stir up whatever may have grown cold, and to get that heart hunger and that heart thirst for more, to have a desire for him above all else. I can be so passionate right now because I just read something before you guys came. It just came off the page. He just wants to embrace us. He wants to love you. Your Father loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change one little thing. He just loves you. And he wants you to experience that reality. And that's why Rick and I open our home. And that's why Rick and I are attempting to encourage all of you that can come to the Father Heart Weekend, to come. Anyone that can come to the A School, to come. Because you see, this world's going to pass away, but your relationship with Father is going to be for eternity.
Amen.
So why not invest in developing that relationship more than the other things? I can honestly say that it's worth investing in you, in your heart, in your spirit. No matter what that looks like, we just pray that Father is going to do that for you. So let me offer, as we get ready, we're going to move around the house and let you just allow him to love on you. But Father, I just thank you that you take the words that I've shared and you stir up the hearts of each person, that you allow them to know how passionately you love them and how much you desire that relationship with them, that you don't want them to feel they are less than someone else, but you see each of them as valuable and precious and of great worth. Lord, I pray that you would give them the heart hunger and the heart thirst for more of you, for the things of your kingdom, and that, Father, they would experience your love even this night as they go through this time of being in this home, allowing your music to sow into their hearts what you have always planned for them. So we thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in Jesus' name.